It is June 2nd.
It is.
We are halfway through the year.
That's right.
Wow.
Can you believe it?
I guess so. Can you?
No. And no. We're almost a month and a week away from the beginning of our
official
100th summer family conference weeks. Pretty amazing.
Hold on.
So we're going to get back to last year. Dr. Dave Edwards was here. He shared the word of God in a powerful way. This is his Wednesday evening message, part two. Let's give a listen to our good friend and yours, Dr. Dave Edwards.
John Mark made his share of mistakes. He was attracted to the cause, but not attached to it. He associated with the called, but he hadn't committed himself to it. He was around it, and ultimately, Peter is the one who leads him to Christ. It was Peter who sat down with him and explained to him who Jesus was. And it was at that, where there was a moment in John Mark's life where he did give his life to Christ, and he says, okay, I believe in this. And then he decides he wants to travel. He wants to go on the road with Paul and all of them. And I'm sure John Mark's mom said to Paul, listen, you need to take my son on the road. He was kind of born on third base. He's had the best of everything. You need to get him out there, get him exposed to the world. And, you know, I'm sure Barnabas said, you know, Paul, you probably should do this. She gave a lot of money to your cause, and, you know, she's a 2%er. You should take John Mark with you. And I'm sure there was that kind of discussion that happened. And Paul said, okay, let's take him with us. So the day came when all of the dignitaries, all of the muckety-mucks in the early church, and all of Mary's friends, John Mark's mom, all of her friends gathered down by the ship as Paul and Barnabas and all of them were about to set sail on the first missionary journey. He was going to go out with them. And they gave him a big send-off. Oh, we're so proud of you, John Mark. This is fantastic. We're so proud of you. You're taking off. And he goes off to the first missionary journey. Listen to what this says. Listen to this. This is Acts 13, verse 5. And when they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues, and John Mark was their helper. So he was along for the ride. He was with Paul. He was with Barnabas. He was with the guys. He's like, this is fantastic. I love it. But Paul, man, was so brazen about Christianity. He was preaching such a radical grace. It was so different than anything that John Mark had ever heard or anything that anybody else had heard. And Paul has this run-in with this sorcerer, with this magician, and he calls him out, and the magician tries to curse Paul, and Paul strikes him with blindness and says, you're not going to see for a while until you understand that Jesus is the light. And John Mark is watching all this, and he was like, wait a minute, this is more than I bargained for. This is not what I thought. We were just going to go around and meet people, have conversations, and watch Paul preach and debate people. I didn't know it was going to be like this. And listen to what happens. The third thing that John Mark does is that he abandons the challenge. He abandons the challenge. Acts 13:13 says, from Paphos, Paul and his companion sailed to Perga and Pamphylia, and John left them to return to Jerusalem. He just ghosted them. Anybody know what that term means, to be ghosted? Anybody? So you text someone, they don't text you back, that's being ghosted. Like some of us had never had that in our lifetime until the phone came along. I mean, the phone has changed everything about our life. You know, when you text someone and then those little three little creepy dots show up in the lower left-hand corner and you're waiting for a response, right? And then nothing happens. I mean, you can't do that in real life. You can't ghost someone in person, right? You can't just go, hey, how are you doing? And just walk off. You'd be like, that guy's nuts. He's lost his mind. Right? I mean, the phone has changed everything about the way we pay attention and how we deal with people. How many of you guys ever get on YouTube? Anybody watch YouTube? How many people watched a video and then tap the screen to see how much time is left? Right? I bet y'all are doing that to me right now, right? You're trying to tap my face. How much left? How much time's left in the sermon? How much time before he's done? Right? It's changed the way we think about things. And I know that, you know, John Mark was a Christian, so he didn't just ghost Paul, he holy ghosted him. All right, so it's a different thing. And so, but no one knows why John Mark left. Maybe it wasn't what he bargained for. Maybe he didn't like the leadership style of Paul. You don't have to do something seedy and dark to disappear from the scene. It's true that temptation can be a reason that some people leave the cause and that they leave Christ. They get tempted by the world, they get tempted by the flesh and the devil, and they get sucked in. But other people get leave because of how they think about their circumstances. And they go, hey, this wasn't the way I thought it was going to be. This is not what I thought ministry and how Jesus was going to treat people. This is harder than I expected, and they leave. Some people leave the cause because they're tired. They just get weary. They get tired of the grind. They get tired of the demands, and they just quit ministry. They just quit wherever God's leading them, and they disappear. And the text and history doesn't really tell us, but John Mark just left. He didn't like it. Maybe he didn't approve of Paul. Maybe it was too hard. Maybe he didn't get enough rest. Maybe he thought it was going to be easier than it was. But for whatever reason, he packed all this stuff up and left in the middle of the night, and he gets back on the boat. And at the moment when he did it, it seemed so right. Everything inside him said, I don't have to put up with this. This is not what I need. My friends and my family are back in Jerusalem. I can go back to my big house and stay in my big bedroom. I can be back in the comfort of my own life. I don't need this. And it seemed so natural at the moment when he quit. It seemed so normal. He seemed to have every right. And this is what we do when we quit. We go, I don't like it, or I'm tired, or it's too long, or something seems more tantalizing than this. I'd rather do something else. And in the moment, it seems like such a right thing to do. Mark gets on a ship, sails back to Jerusalem. And the closer he got to home, the more it dawned on him what he had done. And he had quit. Then he had to get off that ship and talk to all of Mary's leadership friends, all of his best friends who gave him this big send-off, heroic send-off, and he had to go, yeah, well, didn't work out. I didn't want to do it. I decided to quit. And Mark abandons the challenge. He just up and leaves. And I wonder if we've got anybody that's ever just quit. Just quit on what God had for him. Quit on what he called them to do. They just decided they didn't like it, didn't want to do it. We're living in a culture today where the generation that I speak a lot to has never been taught to endure anything. In the cancel culture, if you get offended, you just strike someone out. You don't talk it out, you don't work it out, you don't do anything with it. You just get rid of people, you just eliminate people. And as a result, we've got generations of people who've never been taught to endure, to push into circumstances, to take the hit for the kingdom, to suffer for the gospel the way Paul did. I mean, where I speak in north of Houston is a wealthy area, and most of the kids there have been given everything they need except the one thing they need to survive, which is the ability to endure and to know how to defy the urge to quit. To know how to say, I feel like I want to quit. Everything inside of me tells me I should, but I'm not going to do it. So there'll be moments in our life where we'll be tempted to quit. And the reason may be good. But John Mark, by the time he gets back, he's like, I think I reacted too quickly. I think I may have overreacted. And he couldn't go back. That was it. We all make these mistakes. We feel like we can't recover from them. John Mark is back home. Paul moves on. And then one day, Paul decides that he wants to go back and revisit all the places where he had planted churches and all the places where to all the people that he had ministered to. So if you're taking notes, the mistakes of John Mark was he was attracted to the cause but not committed to it. He associated with the called, but he hadn't given himself to Christ. He abandoned the challenge. He took off instead of learning how to stay. And then number four, he was awakened by the consequences of his choices. In other words, it began to set in what he had done. So we get to Acts 15, where Paul decides he wants to go back and revisit these churches and these places that he had discipled. And Barnabas says, okay, let's take John Mark. And now Acts 15, verses 36 through 41 are what I call kitchen verses. You know what a kitchen verse is? A kitchen verse
You guys ever been to, how many people have been to a really nice restaurant? Anybody? Just like something that's high-end, like IHOP or something like that, and whatever. But you know, you go to a restaurant and they bring the plate out, right? And the plate's really beautiful, and the atmosphere of the restaurant's really beautiful. And then you go back to the kitchen, and the kitchen is complete chaos. Like most places that you go, you don't want to see how the food's made, right? So I ate at a Mexican restaurant just a couple days ago in town, and it was a beautiful restaurant. Like, it's very festive and lots of fiesta and piñatas and everything, you know, hanging from the ceilings. And I walked to the back to go to the restroom and went by the kitchen, and the kitchen was complete chaos. There's people cooking and things, steam coming out of pots, and you know, people cutting up stuff. And there's all a kitchen versus where you see how it's made, right? Acts 15 is a kitchen verse. In other words, we get a glimpse behind the scenes. We're used to seeing the glamorous side of Christianity, the side where people go and preach and people get saved or they get healed or they're changed. This is a kitchen verse because it shows us the nitty-gritty. So let me just read it. This is what this says. And sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns that we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." And Barnabas wanted to take John Mark, also called Mark, with him, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. So John Mark had taken himself out of the work. See that phrase? Taken him out of the work. And they had, now look at this, they had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. This wasn't just like, hey, I don't think he should, Paul's like, I don't think he should go. And Barnabas's like, well, okay, forget it. They had a disagreement. They had a full-on fight about it. Like they went to town. I mean, they could have had their own TV show called The Preachers of Antioch. You know what I'm saying? I mean, these people were at it. These two guys were having an argument so much so that they went, you know what? Barnabas said, well, you go your own way. I'm going to go get John Mark. I'm going to take him with me. That does it. And they split. I mean, look at this. Look, verse 39, and they had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company, and Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left, and commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. At this moment, Paul says, no, I'm not going to take John Mark with me. Let me tell you why this is important. Because word gets back to John Mark that he can't go with Paul again. And it's hard to hear. Hard for him to hear. Hard to hear when the apostle says, I don't want that guy with me. He quit in the work. I can't trust that guy. I'm not going to take him with me. Paul wasn't being mean. He wasn't being belligerent. But Paul operated with such a sense of urgency and such a drive for the gospel that anything that would hinder him, he just cut it loose. He wasn't being unreasonable. He wasn't trying to punish Mark for what leaving before. He just said, no, I can't have anybody with me who won't endure, who won't go the distance. And John Mark is awakened to the consequences of his challenge. For the first time, he begins to understand that the world doesn't just revolve around him and what he wants in his own little comfort zone. That the choices that he had made had real consequences that cost him an opportunity in the kingdom. He was awakened by the consequences of his choices. And there was John Mark back home. Every day living with the weight of that mistake. God, I shouldn't have done that. I should have just stayed if I just stuck it out. And now knowing that Paul doesn't want him with him, he's like, I don't know what to do. John Mark was there for a couple years at home trying to figure out what he was going to do about this mistake. And guess who comes to his door? Knocks on the door. Peter. Peter said, John Mark, I heard that you came back. John Mark fully expected Peter, being brash and having been a fisherman and a man of the sea and the land, to chastise him and go, Mark, what were you thinking? How could you leave Paul? How could you leave the cause? Instead, Peter walks in and sits on the edge of the bed with John Mark. And says to him, have I ever told you about the time that I denied Jesus? Who would know more about what it meant to leave the cause and to quit early than Peter? And Peter enters into John Mark's life to disciple him through his mistakes. And John Mark said, I've heard those stories. I remember when you were at our house. And Peter said, I didn't tell you the whole story. It wasn't just that I denied him, but I denied him three times in a row, and I cursed his name, and I acted like I didn't know him, and I put such distance between him and I. One of the last times I saw him was when I heard the cock crow, and he looked at me across the crowd, and I knew that I had broken his heart with my betrayal. Peter says, but then after the resurrection, I was out fishing and I saw this figure on the shore cooking breakfast. And yes, I recognized it as Jesus. I knew it was Jesus, and I jumped out of the boat. I left my tunic behind, kind of like you did, Mark, but for a different reason. I jumped out of the boat and I swam to the shore, and it was Jesus. And I'll never forget Jesus looking at me and saying, you know, it's all good between us. It's okay. Peter said to John, Mark, it gave me so much courage. When I knew that Jesus didn't hold my mistakes against me, when he looked at me and said, it's all good between us. You love me, you love me, you love me. And he says, you know I love you. And he says, then feed my sheep, then go and take up the cause, go after it. And Peter says to John Mark, that gave me such courage that I preached not long after that at Pentecost and saw 3,000 people get saved. And Jesus met me at the point of my mistake. And he gave me another chance. Because in discipleship, you have to disciple with the remains. We disciple from what remains. We disciple from the mistakes that we've made. We disciple from the frayed ends. We disciple from the broken promises. We disciple from the places that we've left undone. Peter sits down in John Mark's remains and spends 2 years with him, another 2 years, and disciples him. And he says, you know what? Here's what I want us to do. He said, Peter says, I saw these things with Jesus. I'm a fisherman. I'm brash. I'm not a writer. I don't know Greek like you do. He says, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to tell you the stories of Jesus, and you're going to write them down. And because I want you to know God's not done with you, we're not going to call it the Gospel of Peter. We're going to call it the Gospel of Mark. Mark spends 2 years and multiple rewrites, rewriting the stories of Peter and what we have today as the Gospel of Mark. Because there's a ministry in our mistakes. And Mark found a new way for God to use him. You see it? What a powerful, powerful thing. And so we have to say, God, help me to finish. When everything in me wants to quit, God, help me to finish. Help me not to leave too soon. Help me not to let the urge to quit get a hold of me, that it would take me out of where you want to bring me. God, help me to finish. We just need to, if you're taking notes tonight, you may just want to write that under that point to say, God, help me to finish. And that becomes your prayer. Help me to finish. So John Mark is awakened by the consequences of his choices, but in the midst of it, God uses him to write this gospel that will ultimately become the gospel that Luke uses to create his gospel. And so in some weird way, the guy that abandoned Paul in the middle of this missionary journey, now God is used to write the gospel and to tell the story of Jesus. And we all have it in our Bibles today. You see it? And then number four. Mark accomplishes the call. He accomplishes what he's been called to do. And so you may not know the whole story of Mark, but you know, not only does he write the gospel, but he later ministers in Rome with Barnabas. He then goes to the Pentapolis, which are the five cities where they intersect. He goes and preaches there and brings the revival. And then he gets sent to Alexandria to start the first church in Alexandria. And Mark becomes the pastor of the church in Alexandria, one of the largest port cities in that era of history. And he becomes this pastor to the point that he's martyred for the cause. The authorities come after Mark because of all the revival that had spread and all the healings and all the miracles that they'd seen him perform. And they come after Mark and they bind his feet and they tie him to the back of a chariot and they drag him throughout the city and out in the wilderness. And they drag him around for a day. And at the end of the day, they throw him in an old lonely prison out in the middle of nowhere. And at sunrise, they came back and rebound his feet and tied him to a chariot and drug him all the next day until he died. Mark became courageous enough to have served Peter faithfully and then to have served Paul and to sit with him while he was in prison and then to ultimately die for the gospel. And the final verse, for those of us who thought we've made too many mistakes that God can't use us, when Paul is in the end of his life before Mark is martyred, listen to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you because he's become helpful to my ministry. The man that abandoned Paul way back in the day, through his humility and through his service and through his discipleship by Peter, had become this incredible man of God to the point that Paul says he's valuable. God's on that guy. And I want you to know tonight that there's a ministry in your mistakes, and that your mistakes are your milestones. Your mistakes are your milestones. That every place where you failed, it's at that point that God's going to use that failure to make you stronger. It's at that point of failure that God uses to craft a purpose in how he's going to use you. That your mistakes are your milestones. Your mistakes are what shaped you. It was the mistakes of Mark that made him great, not his strengths. It was where he fell. At the point of leaving, Peter rescues him and disciples him and brings him back and makes him stronger, and he becomes a faithful servant. Your mistakes are your milestones. There's a ministry in your mistakes. Don't let the enemy talk you out of following God because of what you've done in the past. Instead, say, God, here's where I've fallen. Here's where I've forsaken you. I ask you to use it in some miraculous way. I rose tonight to tell you that there is a ministry in your mistakes, and that your mistakes are your milestones. All right, let's pray. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the life and the ministry of John Mark. God, I pray that you would help us to not be ashamed of our mistakes, to not be ashamed of the places that we've fallen, but to let you enter into the places where we've left you, where we've fallen short, where we've abandoned the challenge, and to enter into those places and make us stronger in the broken areas of our life. Cause us now, Lord Jesus, to find the ministry in our mistakes. We love you, and we thank you for this word tonight, and in your name I pray, amen, amen.
You know, his mother just ran another marathon, and I believe she is in her early 80s.
Good
pretty
for
amazing.
Her. Good for her.
Her nickname is Flingy.
Flingy?
I've never quite figured out how she got the name Flingy.
She just flings around.
Man, I'll tell you what. Amazing. All right,
That's
let's
cool.
rehearse what's happening.
That's great. We have Young at Heart. Speaking of running a marathon at 70-something, 80-something, Young at Heart Conference is starting this coming Monday on the 5th and running through to the 9th of June. So we're really looking forward to having our Young at Heart guests here. This is a senior guest. You tell me. Give me some words here.
Well, they're teenagers, but they're just senior citizen teenagers.
Correct. Yeah.
They're like crazy.
Is it 65 and older? Is that an official?
No, we have some 50-year-olds.
Okay.
But they're a lot of fun. It's
it
like,
is fun.
Kind of reminds me of like a college reunion. They're into everything,
yes,
right?
Yes, they are.
They like all the games.
They participate as much as any other conference that we have, for sure.
Okay, Sue and Jeff Duffield, those crazy people, will be with us for the worship. We're also going to have Pastor Noah. He starts out on Monday night.
Yes,
I speak on Thursday night. But Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday morning, Jim Lang, our Senior Vice President, is going to be taking us through Walk Through the Bible. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It really is.
And then Tuesday night, we have a very special night.
Yes, we have our spring dinner concert. So that's that evening of the 6th. Joseph Habedank will be sharing his talents with our guest group, and then also people that aren't involved particularly with the Young at Heart conference can also buy tickets for that, correct?
Correct.
And then the Colony will be there. Barbara's Place will be able to attend and just experience a beautiful night of worship.
It's awesome. And we got some big surprises coming that night at the dinner concert, so awesome. You better be there.
I'll be there.
Okay, yeah. Just checking out.
I'll be there.
All this information is available on our website, www.americaskeswick.org. You can call for our events piece if you would like to have the full next couple months, 1-800-453-7942. And just a reminder that America's Keswick does depend on friends like you to support this ministry with your gifts and with your prayers. Call 1-800-453-794 to do a credit card gift, or you can give online at www.americaskeswick.give now. Hey, have a great weekend. Join us on Monday at 1:30 for a very special edition of Worship Live. Mm-hmm. God bless.